Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, V-Spots on the air. I'm talking to Wolfie D, multiple-time USWA Tag Champion. He wrestled also as Flash of the New Church of TNA, and he's currently wrestling as Warren Wolf. And TCW, isn't it?
And I'm wrestling as Cerebus. Cerebus. Warren Wolf's the real name. I'm not going by that. I'm going by Cerebus.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay, I wasn't sure. All right.
Warren Wolf don't sound too scary.
Yeah, see, I just think that's one of those names, because, Tito Santana, his real name's Richard Blood.
Yeah.
And that's just such a, that sounds like so much more of a better wrestling name.
Right. I don't know that Warren Wolf is really scary sounding, though, but I appreciate it.
How did you get into wrestling?
I was 15 years old, and my stepfather, who wrestled as the Scorpion around Nashville, Columbia area, he was training with Gypsy Joe and another guy named Rick Reynolds. He wrestled as the Medic, and I just basically started going to the ring with them. And, I've told this story before. I always feel like I'm repeating myself when I do these interviews, but I trained for a little bit with them, and I didn't train for real long because I was just one of those naturals where, I just kind of got everything right away. And they, of course, in the local, it was called Outlaw back then, Outlaw scene, they were willing to put anybody in the ring with some bit of talent, and I was eons above everybody else, even at 15. So they threw me in the ring, and I started out as Airwolf, and I did a few other little gimmicks, and I guess I can keep going here. Just started doing Wolfie D with the shorts and doing a little rapper gimmick probably in, 91 or something like that, and then met up with Jamie and Chris Champion, put us together, told us we should be a team, so we both started doing that. There it went. We did the Outlaw Circuit for a bit and then got our job at USWA in February of 1993, and that's how we got going.
What was your first impression of Jamie?
I hated Jamie. When I would go to the matches, he used to go and hang out, because his dad was there. And if I'd go to the fairgrounds, as a fan to watch the show or whatever, I'd see his ass running around there acting exactly like he does now. And I was like, this little son of a bitch thinks he's somebody, I just want to punch him. And then, when we met in the ring, we had good chemistry against each other. And then, when we started being a team, to this day, I've never had that kind of chemistry with anybody else. It's just one of those things. It's like that it factor. He complimented me. I complimented him. And, we could completely just look at each other, and we knew what the other one was thinking. It just made for, a lot of impromptu, on-the-spot stuff. It was just it was good. And I hate to be corny and say magic, but, that shit don't come along, every day when you have a good team like that.
When you're doing tag team wrestling, because I've always been, interested in this as far as, because it seems like getting timing down and everything, how does that, is it one of those things that you really can't learn?
Say that question one more time. Let me make sure I know exactly what you're trying to say. Say that one more time.
Like tag team wrestling, like when you get timing for double teams and you were talking about being Jamie,
yeah.
Is that something you can't learn?
Yeah, you can learn it, but, even with just a singles wrestler, there's certain parts of this business that you either got it or you don't. And some people can be the greatest athletes in the world, and they never quite get it in the ring as far – because it's a lot of footwork and agility just as much as it is, strength and speed. Like you said, timing is huge in any kind of match. And that's just something that some people don't get sometimes, especially the psychology of wrestling. But, yeah, tag team, it can be taught, right now in TCW, I'm doing a gimmick, Cerebus, the Lycan Assassin. I'm teaming with a guy named Roosevelt, who's like my little brother in the storyline, and we're called the Hounds of Hell. We're the tag team champions. And when I first came there, I wondered whether he was going to be able to keep up with me. But the thing is, the guy's got a great attitude. He listens to me. And in so many months, since like February, since we started teaming, he's come a long way. He's not exactly where I want him at yet, but he's come a long way because he listens. And that's the main thing. If somebody will listen to me, I can pretty much teach you whatever,
Right. So it's mainly being open to learning.
Right. Right.
All right. When you first got to the USWA, and forgive me, there's a lot of this stuff I haven't actually seen yet. Like I was telling you earlier, I kept up with it in magazines, and I can see YouTube matches sometimes. How were you? Who was booking USWA at the time?
When we first came in, Jerry Jarrett was still booking, and the way we got the job was we were working in Kentucky, and Jeff Jarrett happened to be on the card. Of course, Jamie knew him, and I didn't really know him. But he talked Jeff into holding the video camera and taping our match, and I think we worked like Brickhouse Brown, and I want to say, I can't think of his name off the top of my head. Anyway, working two guys, you know, they were good, and we had a really good match. Jeff taped it, and we sent it to his dad, and he called Jamie back and everything, and we went down, and we went to his office, and he was sick. He blew us off the first time, so then the second time we went back to the office, he had us come in. He was still sick. And Jamie, you know, I've told this before, too. Jamie told me before we went in, he said, man, if we can make him laugh, we got a job. So we go in, and one of the first things he said was, well, I've heard about this gimmick. Let me see it. And so we put it on and put the hubcap around our neck, and he started giggling. And so he gave us a job and did the rap videos with us. You know, the old school of we didn't even have a match for like a month. All they did was show these rap videos of us coming soon type deal. And then, you know, when we debuted, we were already built up, and, you know, they weren't even really giving us a push, really. I mean, we were, you know, kind of undercard guys, but we had a different gimmick. It was before anybody else had done the shorts, regardless of what anybody claims or says, PG-13 was the originals when it came to doing the white rapper gimmick.
Now, was Bill Dundee still around in USWA when you got there?
Right, he was, yeah. And actually, you know, there's a lot of stories about me and Bill. But, yeah, he really didn't want us there. He was at that age where he's grown out of it a little bit in his old age, but he didn't want nobody there that could possibly threaten his gimmick sales or jobs. So there was, you know, some time at the beginning where we were fighting an uphill battle trying to get in and trying to get a push because, you know, people like him were like, oh, no, they're too little and blah, 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 you don't need them, and, you know, all that kind of shit.
Jamie as a partner, do you think that was more to your detriment initially?
Not initially, no. Initially, it helped, you know, because of he knew, had the connections and knew more people than I did. I mean, absolutely, 100% helped. I think both of us in the later days were a detriment to each other. And, you know, and now especially, you know, people ask us to do things together. Like I said, we just did an interview last night, and I love Jamie like a brother, but he knows as well as I know he's not serious about the business anymore, and he's really developed a bad reputation. Not that I never did, but I think I've overcome that and proven some things. And, you know, we're just not on the same page professionally anymore. That's it.
All right. If I could fast forward a little bit to your time in the WWF,
yep.
You guys got to work a few matches in 95, but when you came in with the Nation of Domination, they never really let you wrestle. Why was that?
Well, the first time was Lawler got us in there, and that was before the Mexican invasion, and they loved us, but Bruce Pritchard was like, oh, they're too small. So we went through that shit again. Well, then, you know, the wrestlers started shrinking because, of, you know, the Mexican invasion happened and the cruiserweights and all that, and so it was like, well, we were, you know, it was a little bit before our time right there. And then Cornette got us the Nation of Domination deal. And, I mean, quite honestly, we kind of shot ourselves in the foot on that because we were having too much of a good time. We were young. You know, I was only, like, I think 21 or 22 at the time. Thought it was never going to end. And, you know, the party scene was there. And I got off in that and wasn't going to the gym, wasn't doing what I needed to do. When in actuality, I believed that they were going to split us off and let us become a tag team. Well, like I said, we shot ourselves in the foot on that, ended up getting smashed by the Road Warriors. And then they let us go because of, you know, our out-of-ring activities. And, you know, it is what it is. And then we went to ECW, did well there, did some WCW. And, you know, after that, it was kind of downhill after that. We just didn't take advantage of a good opportunity and, you know, live and learn, right?
So the match with the Road Warriors, because I heard the Jamie Dudley shoot, and it sounded like there was a lot of drama going on around it. For you personally, were you worried about you were going to get beat so fast, or was it just a big deal to be in the ring with the Road Warriors? Period.
No, I really had nothing to do with that. Those guys were our heroes, man, and we were cool with them, So, who hadn't been beat by the Road Warriors? That wasn't the issue. It was, as I said, we did a lot of things wrong, but at that time, you don't want to admit that to yourself and look in the mirror. So we knew that if we went out there and did it, it was going to be, bad for us professionally. But at the same time, like I said, it is the Road Warriors. So we kind of got our feelings hurt, and we actually left the building and said we wasn't doing it and went out in the parking lot. And here comes Shawn Michaels and Jim Ross and chasing us out to the car and, come on, guys, please, don't do this. Let's end this on good terms. And quite honestly, Sean did us a favor, and we actually got paid for 4 weeks after that, for not even showing up anywhere, just as a thank you, I guess, or, he liked us. There was a lot of people that liked us, but like I said, we shot ourselves in the foot. So, it really had nothing to do with the Road Warriors. There was some other, stuff going on where we thought somebody was trying to cut our throats and things like that, but it's a wrestling business, and we wasn't doing ourselves any favors.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite matches as far as being like a short match, because you guys really stole the show doing that.
Well, that's the thing that people don't understand, especially this day and age, the guys. We looked at it like this, after we came back in and rethought everything, it's like, we're going out here on Raw, and we're working the Road Warriors, and we're going to do this to the best of our ability. We could go out there and not get our shit in, and we got our shit in and got smashed, and it's hard for people now to do that. They don't know how to do that, to get over and get beat at the same time,
Yeah, definitely. Because I saw, I remember a few years ago when Paul London was leaving, before he left WWE, he had this match, or it was Brian Kendrick, one of them, but they got beat in such a way that the focus was all on them. They kind of just stole the entire match from the guy beating them.
Yeah, right, yeah. And you can do that. You can do that.
So when you went to ECW, now in the USWA, you wrestled the Eliminators. You had a feud with the Eliminators. Was there a plan for you guys to feud with the Eliminators in ECW?
I never knew what the plan was there. It's like we just showed up. We'd usually get a call on Thursday or Friday to tell us when the plane ticket was, if we were going that weekend. So it was like all last-minute stuff. And, the only people we had a real angle with was Mikey Whipwreck and Spike Dudley. But we did have a few matches with the Eliminators just because they enjoyed working us in Memphis and stuff, and they wanted to do it on their turf, and it was kind of two separate matches, styles or whatever. And actually, they were a lot better by the time we had gotten to ECW, because when we wrestled them in 94 in Memphis in that angle, they were fresh out of Japan and killing us and wanting to do, all kinds of crazy shit, and which was fine. It worked, but they were a lot better by the time we got to ECW, and a lot better match.
I want to mention this because a friend of mine, he said that the matches you had with Mikey Whipwreck and Spike Dudley were some of the best ECW tag team matches ever.
Oh, yeah, there were some real good matches. You can look those up on YouTube, and they're good.
Yeah.
Those guys can work. They were good.
Yeah, so,
real good matches. Enjoyed it.
What was the difference between working in ECW versus WCW or the WWF or even Memphis as far as the matches being put together?
Well, in Memphis, we were the guys. We were the team. We, and the records don't lie. The books don't lie, I guess I should say, because the territory was in bad shape, and then Randy Hales took it over, and we had just come back from Mexico, and he gave us that shove and believed in us, and the houses came up in every town, Memphis, Louisville, Nashville, Evansville. We started out with the Eliminators, then we went to Tommy Rich and Doug Gilbert. Then we went to the Rock and Roll Express and to the whole Smoky Mountain versus USWA thing. And, it wasn't just me and Jamie. Brian Christopher was there. But I'll tell you who it wasn't that says a lot for us, where we didn't get a lot of recognition, was Lawler wasn't there and Jeff weren't there. Jeff Jarrett wasn't there. They had both already, gone up to WWF and, were doing their thing up there. So it says a lot about that crew as a whole. It was a team effort. And anywhere when you see a company start doing well, it's a team effort. It's not one person. And that's something that everybody needs to recognize.
I wanted to ask you this because I know you can't be here much longer. Who came up with the Cyberpunks gimmick?
That was my deal. We were in Mexico, and I was just drawing and kind of came up with the suits and everything. I had no real intention of using them. I just big mark for the Mexican outfits and everything. And we had a guy, he wrestled as Chombo in Japan and Transformer down there, and he made some really awesome stuff. And I just drew it up, and he made them. And then when we got back to Memphis, we just came up with an angle where, you know, we knew we lost to Loser Lee Town, and just a way to do the old, you know, babyface comeback under a hood deal, and just went with it.
Yeah, I love that. I remember I first saw the picture in one of the magazines, and I just loved it.
Right. Thank you.
Okay, so now I think probably the only match PG-13 had on pay-per-view was versus the Dudleys at Hardcore Heaven. How much notice did you have you were wrestling the Dudleys or on the pay-per-view?
Well, the thing about that was weird was we had been heels the entire time we were there, and then we showed up for that deal, and it's like, oh, you guys are going to be the baby faces. So that kind of threw us for a loop. And then Dudleys, for whatever reason, were trying to do our spots as you know, the comedy sort of spots as heels. And in my opinion, I mean, the match was okay, and those guys are great workers, and we were, but I didn't care for the match that much the way it was put together. Could have been a lot better had the shoes, you know, had the roles been reversed. You know, I don't know what was the deal with that, but whatever.
Speaking of which, you were in a bit of an odd match during the Memphis the USWA Smoky Mountain feud. PG-13 wrestled the Rock and Roll Express, who were working his heels. Was that an unusual situation for you?
No, it worked, man. It worked. That's what I'm talking about. That angle right there really drew some money and put asses in the seats, man. And excuse me. It was awesome. Rick and Robert are awesome, you know, whichever side you put them on, you know, that's, you know, it doesn't matter. It was good. It worked.
All right. Can you tell me, how did you, because eventually you transformed from Wolfie D into Slash of the New Church. And,
right.
I mean, initially I didn't even know you were the same guy. I was shocked when I found out.
Right. That was with a lot of people. Even people that knew me would be standing right next to me when they first saw me and had no idea. But, man, that was just another deal where I thought, okay, it's time to change this. The PG-13 has run its course. And I just came up with the Slash character, and I threw it to Cornette first, and he brought me into OVW, and, you know, they put the belts on me and Brian Logan, who wrestled as Damien, I lost my train of thought. So they did that. Cornette helped me develop that character, and there was, you know, I did a few shots with WWE there. They brought me in for a couple of Jacked, and I forget what the other show was, Metal. Did a few of those, did a couple of house shows. They liked it, and I just don't know what came of it. It could have been something to do with they took the mask off of Kane, and then he's bald-headed and got one white eye, so, you know, that could have had something to do with it while they didn't go forward with it. But then TNA picked me up and put me with Brian Lee and put the straps on us there. And, you know, it's like I'm just this tag team guy, just put with everybody. And me and Brian were good. Me and Brian had chemistry, not me and Jamie chemistry, but we had really good chemistry, had some great matches with America's Most Wanted, had some great matches with the whole ECW crew that came in, with Raven, CM Punk, all that stuff. That was a good run, you know. And then when that was over, that's when I kind of quit the business for a little bit, a couple years, 3 years.
All right. I figure you probably have to go in a minute. Can you tell us about is there anything you want to plug or talk about?
Well, right now I'm working for Traditional Championship Wrestling. If anybody wants to check that out, it comes on Dish Network as well as DirecTV on Friday nights, 12 o'clock Central Time. You can also check out the shows on TCWWrestling.com. It's I think it's going to go. It gives me the feeling of when I first worked for TNA, and, you know, there's just something that tells me that this thing's going to go. As I said, they just signed with, you know, the both satellite companies, and that puts us in, like, 50 million homes right now. It's a good product. There's a lot of good talent there, and, I mean, anybody that hasn't seen it, I encourage you to check it out. Check out the website. Check out the show. Also, I have my wrestling school in Nashville. You can go to WolfieD'sHOC.com and get some information on that if you live in the Nashville area and are wanting to train. Since I moved to Knoxville a couple months ago, the headliner, Chris Michaels, is actually my trainer right now. I make an appearance here and there, but just, you know, gas is a little expensive these days, so I can't afford to come down there too much. But he's holding down the fort for me, and he's about the only person in that area that I really trust 100% to train like I would train him, and, you know, not to try and get over on me at the same time. So anyway, that's what I'm doing now. They can hit me on Facebook under my real name, Warren Wolf, W-O-L-F-E, and Twitter at Lycan Assassin, L-Y-C-A-N Assassin.
All right. Warren, thank you for talking to me. Or Wolfie, maybe we can do it again sometime.
Yes, sir. I really appreciate it, man. Anytime.
All right. You have a good day. And for everybody else, we'll be back tomorrow night at 10 p.m. when I'll be talking to Mikey Whipwreck. Have a good day.